Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 12:2. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to summarize everything I'm going to talk about because I know some of you fall asleep in about 10 to 15 minutes. So you're going to get the message right from the beginning that I want to get across. Carol asked me the question sometime. She says, okay, now sum up your whole sermon in one sentence. And brother, don't think that isn't a challenge. But I want you to take a look at this particular text because it has a lot of meaning to it. And I'll be repeating it a little bit later on. Isaiah 12:2 says this, I will trust and not be afraid. And you're going to see a little bit of twist later on in the sermon on this whole idea of being afraid and using a different text, which is found in Psalms, which I'll bring out a little bit later on. But right now, I'd like you to do one more thing for me, and that is to turn to John 14, 1 through 3. This is another one which most of you are very, very familiar with. It's a great promise. And whatever we fear, we need to remember these two texts, Isaiah 12:2 and also John 14, 1 through 3, because this is a wonderful promise. And you'll notice here it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. What a wonderful promise. Christ's going to prepare a place for each one of us. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Remember that wonderful gift of Jesus coming the second time. And he is preparing right now mansions for you and for me. But let's take a look at the whole idea of fear. Are you afraid? And that's what I asked the children. I said, are they afraid? Fear is good and fear is bad. Sometimes when we are afraid, the adrenaline flows and therefore we're stronger than usual. We can move faster than usual. We can think faster than usual. So sometimes it's good. But other times, it's very, very bad. And for the majority of us, it can be very bad. So are we afraid as Christians? Should a Christian be afraid? Is the question I'd like to ask. Now, perhaps most of you remember this statement made by FDR in his first inaugural address back in March 4th, 1933, and many of you have heard this stated over and over and over again. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And I've thought about that many times. He also made this statement as part of it. Fear itself. It's nameless. It's unreasoning. Unjustified terror which paralyzed needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. Now remember, this is during the time when there was a deep depression in the United States, and this is a statement that he made, and that is to convert retreat, which they were doing, into advance. He was a positive thinker. Edgar Wallace made this statement in The Clue of the Twisted Candle. This was written in 1916. He made this statement. Fear is a tyrant, a despot, more terrible than the rack, more potent than the snake. And this one is for Dorothy. Dorothy Maul. The late Pavarotti is quoted as saying this, Am I afraid of the high notes? Of course I am. What sane man is not? Well, you can't hit the high notes. But Pavarotti, I thought he could hit a lot of high notes from my point of view. Anyway, in his book, The Conquest of Fear by Basil King, he writes this statement. See if we all can not relate to what he is saying here. I don't know how many of you have ever read his book. He writes this, that during most of his lifetime, he has been a prey of fear. And he feels that he is expressing the experience of most people. He says he can't remember a time when dread of one kind or another was not in the air. In his childhood, he was afraid of the dark. Later, he was afraid to go to school. Still later in life, he would wake up in the morning and he was afraid of the amount of work that had to be done that day. Fear, afraid, fear. Some kind of fear, he says, dogs every one of us. Another is afraid, a mother is afraid for her children. A father is afraid for his business. And the next one, many of us sitting here can relate to. And many of us are afraid of losing our jobs. Mr. King declares that there is not a home, an office, a school, or a church in which there is not some hang-dong apprehension which is not that is eating at the hearts of the people who go in and out. We are not sick all of the time, and we're not engaging in sin acts all of the time. But most of us, he says, are always afraid. Afraid of something. Afraid of somebody. But I ask the question, why should we be afraid? Why should you and I be afraid of anything or anybody? Really, no believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has any reason to fear anything or anyone on this earth. Has he? The story is told of a Christian woman, and I want you to listen very carefully to this. A story is told of a Christian woman who found a text that was a great blessing to her, and it is Psalms 56:3. And this is an exact quote. Listen carefully. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust you. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust you. When we are afraid, we should go to God in prayer. There's no doubt about that. When we are afraid, we should trust in God and find Him to be our comforter and our peace. But this woman became quite puffed up with her spiritual pride. She thought that she had found something that others did not have. So she was quite deflated when one day D.L. Moody said this, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you," is like going to heaven second class. They really took her back. This is first class. Notice the difference. I will trust and not be afraid. You notice the difference? I will trust and not be afraid. Do we trust God? I hope so. This is found in Isaiah 12:22. Now that's going to heaven, first class, according to D.L. Moody. We have a command of Jesus Himself against fear. Turn to page 14:1-3. Remember, we just got through doing that right at the beginning. Turn to John 14:1-3. Most of you probably can state it by heart. But this is what I'd like to say about it. If we really trust in God and trust in Jesus, we will not fear. In verse 2, the great promise that is there, The future life is a reality. The future life is a reality. When we finish here, we are ready to go there. Let us not worry about the shortness of life here, because it will be endless in its glory and interest in the reality of the life to come, when you and I, at the second coming, see Jesus coming. We won't care what happened to us down here, will we? We won't care. It won't make any difference to us in the life to come. Verse 3. And if I go, and Jesus is still speaking, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a wonderful promise to be with our Savior. Our Savior is coming again. He has promised to come, and he will come. It is definite. It is certain. It is sure. It is positive. He has not forgotten the world that he left, or nor has he left it alone in sin. He will come back and bring an end to the sorrow that you and I see today, the loss of our loved ones, whoever it may be, but it will be gone. It will be done. It will be finished. Some of you just had operations. Some of you have had eye operations. There won't be any. We'll be made whole. I thought that Dr. Walker in our Sabbath school made a good statement. He says, we'll have new bodies. I heard an amen. I was surprised there isn't a few more of us. I've got some amens there. Anyway, eventually God will finish what is happening. There will be no more sorrow, no more trouble on this earth. So that eventually God's plan for this world will be carried out. And it would be glorious, a happy home, an immortal race. You and I will be immortal. Do not worry about this. No matter how dark things become in our personal life or in the world in general, remember the text, I will trust and not be afraid. I will trust and not be afraid. There's a story told by John McNeil. He tells of the experience of his boyhood. He had been in a town, and it was getting really late, and he had 7 miles to walk back home. It was a very dark night, and the road led through the lonely glen and also toward the mountains, and toward an area which really had a bad name. And he was really getting worried as he walked along, and he got into the deepest part of the forest. He could actually, as he tells the story, he says, my heart was beating so furiously that I could hear it pounding in my ears. Do you think he was scared? He was scared. Then suddenly there rang out a great, strong, cheery voice. Is that you, Johnny? It was his father, he says, the bravest, the strongest man I ever knew. And then he adds, many a time since, when things were getting very black and very gloomy about him, about me, I have heard a voice greater than that of my earthly father. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Isaiah 41:10. Always remember, our Heavenly Father knows us, and he knows us well. He created us. He knows our nature. He knows that we are prone to fear. He knows our frame, and he remembers that we are but dust. Psalms 103:14. Over and over, the Bible says, be not afraid. Do not fear. Be not afraid. Don't fear. I'm going to give you several Bible texts where this comes in. Actually, through the Bible, there's a whole bunch of these, but I'm just going to give you a few. Fear not, Joseph said to his brethren in Genesis 50:19. Fear not, Moses said to the people, Exodus 20:20. Fear not, God said to Joshua, to Israel, and to the judges. Time and time again, he said this. Fear not, Samuel said to the people in 1 Samuel 12:20. And Jonathan, who loved David as his own soul, said to him, fear not, in 1 Samuel 23:17. Fear not, Elijah said to the woman in Zarephath, 1 Kings 17:13. And Elijah said the same thing to his servant in 2 Kings 6:16. And this is an interesting story that happened. Most of you probably remember this story, but in case you don't, the Moabites and the Ammonites and so forth had gathered around. In fact, they had a huge group of various nations that came together to attack Israel. When the whole nation of Israel was trembling like the leaves of the forest before the mighty invading army, Jezreel the prophet said under the inspiration of the Lord, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. Many of the battles that you and I are fight are not ours, but God's. 2 Chronicles 2:15. A message like that's a good everyday message for all of us. Through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord says this, say to those who have fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, Isaiah 35:4. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is the New International Version of Isaiah 41:10. And then, young people, see if you remember the story of HMS Richards. Now I'm going to give you the texts that go along with it. And this is the way he tells the story, similar to what I already told you. And this is about his youngest son, who at that time was 5 years old. One night, when it was exceedingly dark, he and his son took a walk up to the mountain in back of their home. The trail went along the live oak trees, and there wasn't a ray of light. As they started out, the son talked constantly, but as the trail got darker and steeper, he talked less and less. Finally, taking his dad's hand and walking as close to him as he could get, he said in almost a whisper, Daddy, we're not afraid, are we? We are not afraid. But he was. Yet the touch of my hand, Elder Richard says, gave him courage and faith. He would go anywhere where I would go. The fear and his confidence were a sermon to me. They brought back to my mind the words of Scripture, and these are the two Scriptures that he used. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying to thee, fear not, I will help you. Isaiah 41:13. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Isaiah 43:1. Just as I loved my little son, the assurance and assured his fears, so God loves me and assures mine. God loves me and assures mine. Now, this was a story that was told by John Wesley. And this happened while he was on a ship. And it got caught in a big storm. And it was over the Atlantic. And fear came into his heart. The only people on board who were not terror-stricken, he noticed, was a small group of Moravian missionaries. When the storm was over, he asked one of them, were you not afraid? Afraid? Why should I be afraid? I know Christ. I know Jesus. Then he looked at Wesley with a discerning frankness. He asked, Do you know Christ? Do you know Jesus? We need to ask ourselves that same question. Do we know Christ? Do we know Jesus? Are we really Christians? It took this trial in Wesley's life for him to realize he did not truly know him, did not truly know his Savior. But thank God that it was not long before he did have that close relationship with his Heavenly Father. Let's turn to another story which you know very well, and this is Peter's story. This is a story found in Matthew 14, 26 through 31, and it illustrates the problem with the modern Christian. When we take our eyes off Jesus, we begin to sink into the storms of the life. When we take our eyes off Jesus, we start to sink in the storms of this life. We try to keep one eye on Jesus and the other on our problems. We try to keep one eye on Jesus, the other on our problems. Therefore, we begin to sink. Our God or his care, but also we look at our God and his care, but we also look at our troubles which are around us. We cannot see Jesus, who is reaching out to us. In fact, Jesus is so close to us that he is trying to carry us. And most of you have heard this story many times, but I'd like to apply it here. And that is that Christ is so close to us. He's there all the time for us. But sometimes we don't realize that he is so close that he's actually carrying us. And most of you know the story. We forget that the single footsteps that are in the sand are the Savior's and not ours. The Savior's life is a gift that we cannot repay. At the tomb of the resurrection, the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen." Matthew 28:5-6. Over and over again, Jesus told his disciples not to fear. At the miraculous drought of fishes, he said to the apostle Peter, "Fear not." This is found in Luke 5:19. And to Jairus, who had heard that his daughter was dead, "Fear not, only believe." Luke 8:50. And now, how wonderful are his words to us. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God." Luke 12:32. Someone has said, "Fear not is the watermark of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation." "Fear not," the angel said to the Apostle Paul in Acts 27:24. And Paul wrote to Timothy, "God has not given us a spirit of fear," 2 Timothy 1:7. The last book of the Bible, Jesus said to the lonely John on Patmos, "Do not be afraid." Listen to these words, "I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I live forevermore. Amen." Add to this, that I have also the keys of life. There is no death. Why do we fear when we have such a promise? Brothers and sisters, do not be afraid. Everything is possible for God. Now I'd like to look at it from this point of view. How do we get rid of fear? Fear besets us every day, whether we like it or not. It is there. How do we get rid of it? Faith, folks. Faith. Faith in the living God and a living Savior is the antidote for fear. John 11:40 says this, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see a very loving God?" We need to believe, and we will see the glory of God. Sort of had some fun this morning. I asked the question, I'm going to give you the translation of this so it'll help you out a little bit because we were all having trouble with it. In Bunyan's immortal allegory, Pilgrim's Progress, he takes Christian to a doubting castle kept by giant Despair and his wife Diffidence. Diffidence means lack of confidence. So he was being taken to this particular place where there was despair and lack of confidence. Finally, he was delivered, and he went out from the dungeon into the light, and so must we. Faith finds God. Faith sees him in the darkness. Faith sees him in the light. Faith opens to the door as well as the windows in the prison of fear in our souls. There's an interesting story told of the settlers in British Columbia. There was an abandoned fort there. Some of you may already know this story, Fort Elkan. And what they were allowed to do was to actually go into this prison, and they were allowed to take the things that were in it. They were take the lumber, take the electrical, take parts of it, and so forth. So they went in, and so they were dismantling it, and they had these big steel doors with big locks on them, and it's just as strong as could be, and they looked at the bars in the windows, and the bars in the windows were 2-inch steel bars so that the people could not escape, and so forth. But the thing that became fascinating about this particular prison, and that was the fact that the walls themselves were patented wallboard, clay, and paper. That's all they were. A good, strong man could heave against them and actually walk right out. But the point of it is, nobody tried. Nobody tried. So they were held by cardboard and plaster. Many of us Christians are prisoner of our own fears, fears which prove to be nothing when they are pushed against by the hand of faith. The Bible says that those who are fearful are those who have little faith. Matthew 8:26. Fearfulness and unbelief go together. But it is our privilege to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. God said, fear not. Jesus said, fear not. Put on the whole armor of God. Fight the battle with unwavering faith. And do not fear, for God is with us. Cast away all fear, trust and obey.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.